The following is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of Corus Entertainment.
This is Hi-Fi Radio with Wolfgang Klein and Jack Hardim. Toronto's news, today's talk, 640 Toronto.
Well, my friends, it is a new month, new beginning. And yeah, the stress level tends to go up right about now. Market included, September tends to be a tough month, but you know, that's what they said about August, and it began weak and strengthened on the back end. So I'm going to say it, my good friends haven't said it in a while. It is a bull market, and apparently there's a lot of cash on the sidelines, some $6 trillion. I don't count the cash. I see various charts about all the cash on the sidelines. And, well, it's at least making some money today, much better than it could have earned, say, 10 years ago. So some dry powder every now and then, not a bad move, but it is a bull market, and this market, I feel it. It wants to work its way higher. So we'll see, of course, what the month of September brings. My sense is weakness will be purchased, whatever weakness we get. And well, for those who have a lot of cash, hope for a lot of weakness for the month of September. October tends to turn, followed by November being, I think, about one of the strongest probable months of the year. And December, of course, sets the stage perhaps for a late month Santa Claus rally. But who needs to think so far into the future? Well, you do, if you're in the world of technology. Rob Young, one of our analysts, MBA superstar, dear friend of mine, gracious to spend some time with us this Saturday night. Rob, big round of applause for you, my friend. Welcome back to Hi-Fi Radio. You're welcome. I just came back from a fabulous two-week trip in Europe, and I'm going to keep speaking about this trip probably for about a month because it was just so amazing. And I'll tell you what caught my attention as the plane was landing in Frankfurt, and also when I got into even Dublin, I saw a Microsoft, I saw a Google, I saw a Cisco Systems, and of course a few McDonald's and KFCs along the way. But to see, you know, these satellite offices or real offices of these multinational tech companies was pleasant. I have to admit.
Absolutely, all yeah. The HSBC ones are gone too.
Well, sorry, HSBC, they're gone.
They used to be in the causeway onto the airplane. They all seem to have disappeared. Maybe that's part of why they just sold their asset here in Canada to RBC, I believe.
You know, I'll tell you, when I came out of London in May, walking through the tunnel, I think I still saw HSBC advertising. But I also say this is just after the coronation of the king. Was a huge picture of at the time Prince Charles kissing Diana. Just as the king is being coronated. I said, this is, and of course, I don't know if it was brought to you by HSBC, but it was just a segue into the HSBC tunnel. So I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah, they certainly did a lot of money on advertising that way, a little previous known as transit advertising. It's now called airport advertising. And, you know, so it's amazing how many tech companies built their business model on the advertising revenue generating model. And I always said to myself, gee, was, you know, I used to be in the world of advertising, selling it. And I said, you know, there's only so many ad dollars to go around. It's remarkable, you know, traditional media continues to generate as much successful revenue, you know, this company included. It continues to have legs. But tech cannot survive on ad dollars alone. Why don't you speak to that, if you may, Rob? Just you know, coming out of the most recent Google conference, they speak about AI, and Google was very much an ad-driven model, a free search, and you had to pay for some ads along the way. And, of course, then they got paid their clicks and the likes. But let's talk about their business model, where it began, where it's going.
Sure. Well, I mean, Google, I mean, the core there is search. Search advertising, right? And there was some worry at the very beginning when OpenAI came out with ChatGPT that business model was, you know, under pressure. And so I think, you know, at the beginning of this sort of big tech rally, Google is a bit of a laggard, but it feels as though some of that is sort of, it's caught up a little bit. It's been up for the last, it's up year to date. But I think at the beginning, people are quite worried around, you know, what you know, the impact would be on that search business, because it's such a dominant piece of the Google business model.
Yeah, but they obviously have their tentacles in AI as well, successfully so. So I'm not going to count them out. Apple was looking. Again, I know you don't cover Google nor Apple, Rob, but you're gracious enough with your brain and the confidence in technology to be able to certainly speak about the companies. You're obviously not making stock recommendations on these names that we're going to chat about. But you know, when you speak tech, you got to speak America. You just have to. Very, very few tech names here in Canada. In fact, you know, Rob, the sad thing is, I think the Canadian stock market is very weak. We don't offer a lot to investors. When you really drill down into the world of investing, you have to own American businesses. And again, I didn't see a whole lot of Canadian business on a multinational basis. You know which one company I saw multinational was Circle K, owned by retail Canadian darling Couche-Tard. Circle K all over Ireland. They love their KFC there too, apparently. And it actually tastes a little better, I must say, their nuggets. But in terms of tech, it's just interesting to see these big tech companies have big platform offices throughout Europe. And again, that's, you know, the world is flat. And I think part of that flatness, correct me if I'm right or wrong on this, Rob, it has to do with technology and what it allows us to do today.
For sure. Absolutely. Technology, you know, is the best hedge on inflation because it improves productivity, right?
But now, so let's now talk about timelines in technology. You once put it best on this show, and again, I'm going to paraphrase it for you, but you can maybe drill into it as to why. But we always underestimate, tech analysts always underestimate how big the market can be. And they overestimate how long it's going to take. In other words, it takes longer than expected, but the market is also a lot bigger than expected.
That's right.
Yeah, why is that, Rob?
That's a familiar error we make over and over again. No, we just always assume that things are going to happen a lot faster. Maybe e-commerce is a great example, right? Like, e-commerce has been growing for years and years and years and years, but mm-hmm. I think a lot of people thought it would be much faster. I don't think anybody would disagree that e-commerce has a lot of growth ahead of it.
What percent of retail is now e-commerce, Rob?
Oh, gosh. I mean, don't know what it would be in Canada, but it's probably somewhere around 20%, 25% in the U.S. I don't know the number, but there's still a long way to grow. I mean, mm-hmm. we still buy most of our groceries. We still buy a lot of those, you know, hard goods. There's some things that people still don't buy a lot of online, but things like, you know, clothing, shoes, things that people would have thought would be bought online are now, you know, very, very large categories. So it's slowly eating into every part of the, our budget.
Oh, I remember, Rob, I'm going to take you back now to the late 90s, again, when I was in the ad business and dealing with retailers. And when the internet came to the forefront, they began seeing transactions through the likes of Amazon on the internet and the price cutting. It really had them shaken in their boots. And they tried everything they could at first to ignore it, to turn it off, to not admit it was there. But then they slowly learn to embrace it and adopt it and use it and benefit from it. And so, yeah, they still have bricks and mortar, but they certainly learned to adopt and use the clicks as well. And I think that's very fascinating to see. What they feared never came perhaps to fruition. But I will say, again, when I was in Ireland, I took a great photograph from my hotel shooting down the street of a UPS truck. But it was the cutest little thing. Again, UPS delivering all those packages to us, right? UPS working for the likes of Amazon, them and FedEx, they deliver to the world. But this little UPS truck cruising around Dublin, it almost had three wheels on it. It was so narrow. But of course, you know, the same colors and that and the gold letters. It's just interesting, again, to see how we use technology. And I will say as well, people in Europe, certainly in Germany, are not as glued to their smartphones as we are here in North America. When you go for dinner in Germany, and if you're using your smartphone, which I did, and which my kids did, you're frowned upon. You're there to have a conversation eye to eye. So I was certainly guilty of that cultural faux pas. And I think it's actually a good cultural faux pas. And again, the world here in North America operates on a 24/7 clock. Right. In Europe, it doesn't. In Europe, certainly in the Christian countries, they take Sunday off. In Germany, Sunday is a day of rest. Again, not a bad concept, you know, but technology, we're always turned on. It's just unbelievable. You know, something else, Rob, I'll tell you. And this is an interesting stock market factoid. Not taking place as much this year, but the stock market is open about 8 hours out of 24 a day. Yet the bulk of the market activity that pushes stocks up and down is driven by activity that occurs after market hours. So for the most part, if you want to make money in the market, you have to actually hold overnight. And back in 98, 99, when e-commerce was just beginning, and I'm just fascinated that took 23 years to get about a 25% market share. Because I remember when I was trying to get through 5%, then 10% of retail activity. So Rob's now thinks it's roughly 20, 25%. That's interesting. And you got to see it getting at some point probably to 50%. I think that's very doable, don't you, Rob?
Well, maybe 100%. Maybe we'll all be buying.
No, it won't happen. There's no way. No way it's going 100%. What about ChatGPT in the various industries? Who do you think is most vulnerable to being, right sized or downsized due to chat?
Well, I mean, call centers, obviously. One area is that seems to be. Highlighted now is like the low end of coding, because AI and ChatGPT and others, they can do a lot of the lower end of the coding spectrum. That's legal work. There's a lot of legal work that could probably be summarized or created by generative AI tools. The finance industry, which we're both in, one area where been highlighted. I mean, it's going to hit everybody to a certain extent, but then I think the focus is on what's going to disrupt. But anytime any of these technology tools become available to us, they create opportunity for more productivity.
Without question, there is always opportunity. We just got to learn to use it and adapt. And again, it's all about the good and the proper outcome.
Right.
Rob Young, one of our analysts, the tech analyst, Bay Street, partner at Canaccord, gracious enough to spend some time with us. Massive brain. We're just going to dance around the world of technology because he certainly can aid us in our better understanding of a very complex subject matter. Rob Young, joining us, Hi-Fi Radio. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Hi-Fi Radio in a moment on 640 Toronto. You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of Corus Entertainment.
Welcome back. There's a brand. Hey, Pink Floyd is a iconic brand, and they continue to, reap dividends from their artistic genius, shall I say. Haven't seen the Floyd exhibit in Toronto. If anyone hasn't, have any opinion about it, drop me a line, wolfgangkline.com, the wolf on baystreet.com. I think some 250 million copies of that album have been sold, probably pushing toward 300 million. It's kind of neat when you Google the success and the wealth of various artistic performers, film, music. I'm always curious how accurate these estimates are. I share that with you because I had the privilege in Dublin of hanging out with Larry Mullen for about 4.5 minutes. I pinned him in a little sandwich booth. It was actually a really fantastic lobster house in Howth, Dublin. And we were sitting down with my family, and all of a sudden Larry came through with his wife. My wife said, "Oh my God, I think it's Larry Mullen." And he said, "There's no problem, it's Adam." She said, don't interrupt them. I said, "Kathleen, please." And so I did approach him. He was very, very nice. I got into a booth right beside him. He really couldn't get out. And he let me take a few shots of him. After my wife Googled what he was worth, and the answer is $350 million. $350 million for being an amazing drummer and an amazing band and doing that for about 40 years. And trust me, he started with nothing. But there's always hope. Rob Young, analyst with Canaccord, tech analyst, keeping the beats, eh? 350 million bones. What do you think of that, pal?
That's a good amount of money.
Nice guy to boot. Just a humble, gracious man who had a very interesting view on the world. Very, very smart. And you have to be smart to succeed in the world of entertainment. It's a tough, tough business. And once you create a great product, the question is reaping dividends and having it work for you. And again, if you want to build wealth, my friends, you must go to work and you must put some money aside and you must invest it wisely. And that's what this show is all about. And I can't do it on my own. I have to rely on some smart people to help me formulate my decision-making process. Rob Young, an analyst with Canaccord, is a great partner of ours. He understands technology really, really well, never shy to delve into a new area within the space. Help me purchase some Descartes, some CGI, some Constellation software, name you don't cover, but you fast-tracked me nicely on those names. I want to thank you for that. Rob, I don't like the Canadian stock market. I love the U.S. stock market. There's nothing, we don't have a lot to offer in Canada.
Well, the tech sector is smaller here in Canada, but there's definitely some good companies. I wouldn't agree.
They're small. They're tiny. Our good companies are banks, and they're not working. And then we got a few oil stocks. Okay, they woke up. But no, maybe I'm getting older, maybe I'm getting tarnished, or maybe I'm just getting wiser. And a friend of mine said it to me 2 decades ago. And look, I'm Canadian. I'm a proud Canadian, and I wish we had, a better market. You want to make money, friends, long term, you got to own the U.S. stuff. And again, I go back to why? Well, you buy Microsoft, and all of a sudden, you got yourself a global company that has business coming in from every continent on this planet. You just fly around the world, and you'll see their offices. It gives me comfort when I own a company like Microsoft. And, UPS, the delivery company, I talk about their cute little vehicles. They adapt it to the market. So be it. Rob, when I was traveling, I got to Nuremberg, and I went to McDonald's in the train station. And I said, Guten Tag, kann ich bitte ein Quarter Pounder mit Cheese haben? Which is, I want to order a Quarter Pounder with cheese. And they say, we don't sell those. We don't sell Quarter Pounder with cheese. I don't know what you're talking about, sir. We sell Big Macs and we sell Royale mit Käse. Royale with cheese. Right. I died. I took a picture of my...
Fiction.
Oh, my God. It was such a great, great moment. But there's a company with, some 35,000 franchises. Look at the long-term chart on a company like McDonald's. And it's remarkable. But again, who would have thought that a company like McDonald's would adapt technology as well as they have?
Sure. And you can buy a good company here in Canada, Kinaxis.
It is a great company, yes.
They work with a company called Javi. And Javi, one of their biggest customers is McDonald's. And so, Kinaxis is supply chain software. And
that's a good guy. Agreed. That's one of your babies you cover. And the chart looks actually better. I agree with you wholeheartedly. We got one. We got a winner.
Tie that one to your McDonald's if you'd like. And supply chain is pretty darn important to McDonald's, as you can imagine. Perishable stuff. Lots of stores making that work. And companies like Kinaxis, orchestrating all that with software.
You know what they do in Europe? They use the old oil that we're not allowed to use anymore because it gives you a heart attack. So if you want to have a better French fries, go to Europe. Old school. Anyways, you know me with food. But I'm going to go back to the world of tech and just the world of finance and money. When you look at these American businesses, Ingersoll Rand is a compression company. I just bought it. Again, when you travel the world, you see Ingersoll Rand equipment everywhere. They have a global footprint. So when one economy is slower and the other economy is healthier, they get to divert and allocate resources accordingly. They're not stuck on single markets.
Sure.
It just helps spread around the risk. But I think Canadian investors, Rob, remain underweight America. I got an alarmist call the other day. Out of the blue, some random person called me up and said, oh, Mr. Klein, it's you. And thank you very much for taking my call. What is going to happen to the markets when the U.S. dollar gets crushed? I said, ha. When the U.S. dollar gets crushed, it's got to be the BRICS that are going to take over, right? I said, huh? No. And the U.S. buck, first of all, it remains supreme. Secondly, in any times of crises, the U.S. dollar acts as a fabulous hedge to foreign investors because the U.S. dollar is where money flows back to in times of crises, time and time again. And then, but you just parlay the U.S. dollar into the U.S. economy and the U.S. business model, it just seems to work better. I don't like U.S. politics. I don't really like going to America. I love U.S. business, Rob. And again, you being a man of tech, you must be excited and just your eyes wide open when you get out to these various conferences in America, notably in California and the likes, just to see sure. what they're talking about.
Yes, and that's all about AI these days. AI is the it used to be metaverse, and now it's all about AI. There's always a trend.
There's always a story. It's still, Robert, there's always a
right
story.
Now it's AI.
So what about NVIDIA at these levels?
Yeah.
Again, I know you don't cover the stock, Rob, but you're obviously paying attention to it.
Sure.
What do you think? Is it a must-own stock?
It's well, so the question you got to ask is whether you want to pay the valuation. But, I mean, it is the most tightly tied company to the infrastructure side of AI, and that's where all the benefits are accruing right now. So all of their GPUs, they now have a version of their GPU that you would have bought for your video game rig. They've got a version that doesn't have video outs, and it's made for the data center. And those GPUs are being used to run all of the AI training that's being done. All of the companies that are rushing to get in and figure out how this is affecting their business and building their large language models, they're desperate to get a hold of these chips that NVIDIA is building, and NVIDIA is the only game in town. And then they also have a programming architecture called CUDA, which is being used for all of these LLMs. And so the two are tied together, kind of like if you remember at the beginning of the App Store with Apple, where everybody was building all the apps and you couldn't move them to BlackBerry, you couldn't move them to Android easily, and the game in town was all the App Store. It's very similar right now around AI. NVIDIA has a really good step ahead of the market, and this is what they've been preparing for a long time. Comments from their CEO, Jensen Huang, he's suggesting that the entire data center fabric is going to move towards an architecture that he calls accelerated computing. And that's where you have a CPU and a GPU. And if that's the case, then that's an enormous amount of opportunity for NVIDIA. Because right now, just using NVIDIA's numbers, they said there's about $1 trillion worth of gear out there and about $250 billion spent every year. They just reported a quarter with $13 billion, which, by the way, is about the same as Intel right now. And so I think a lot of people are looking at this and saying, well, NVIDIA has a long way to go yet because there's a lot of gear that's sold into the data center. There's a lot of gear which may recycle more towards their architecture. There's a lot of AI that's going to be in infrastructure that's going to be needed for all these large language models and all the new applications that are going to get built. And so there's a lot of excitement around it. It's just a question of whether you want to pay the valuation. Which is
can you help me? What about Arista Networks? What can you share to tell me about that company?
So Arista is kind of like Cisco or Juniper. They make the networking gear that goes into data centers. They do a lot of very specifically designed gear for very high bandwidth, low latency applications. They did a lot in the high frequency trading. Things like that, areas that might have been too small for Cisco, they focus and they build networking gear that's very highly focused on these niche areas, and they seem to be very well positioned for AI.
Let's lastly take it back home. My team just went to a presentation by CGI. Very, very impressed with just the stability of that Canadian tech consulting darling. That's a name we do cover. I do own the stock across my book, and it's in a trading range trying to break out, very similar to what Constellation Software is doing. Please give us a couple of minutes on those two Canadian tech leaders.
Sure. I'm all CGI. Great company. One of Canada's tech heavyweights. The interesting thing about CGI is that a big chunk of its business is these very long contracts with large enterprise, with the banks, with large companies like Bell, the U.S. government, federal government, state governments. And so they have these long duration contracts, which de-risk their business when you get into a tougher market. And when it's a really, really high growth market, which we've seen just a few years ago, those are tougher to grow, but they're very stable. And so CGI is a business which has a very, very low level of risk. The question is similar to NVIDIA. It's a question of valuation. As valuation is at the higher end of the range. But CGI has a defensive premium right now because people are a little bit worried about the economy, where IT spend might go over the next couple of years. CGI does have some angle into AI, and they announced that they're going to spend $1 billion building that part of their business out. And so that'll be a piece that they participate in as well.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like a middle growth, you know, growth at a reasonable price type of a name. Very well run, very strong financial model, generates cash flow. They don't do a dividend, but it's a company that certainly could issue a dividend. And so that's an area that investors have been, you know, hopeful for a long time. But it's just a really well-run company with, you know, good exposure to growth, but these large contracts that de-risk any of the downside.
Yeah. Rob Young, tech guru with Canaccord, spending some time with us this Saturday night, talking, of course, about the world of technology. Embrace it, my good friends. She's not going anywhere, but she will get bigger. Rob, you have yourself a great weekend. Thank you for your time. We're going to pivot over to America. Susan Anderson, she's another analyst with Canaccord. We're going to be talking about consumer and retail, a little health, wellness, and lifestyle chat right here on Hi-Fi Radio. I am Wolfgang Klein. What are we driving? We're going to drive a Ferrari today. That's right. Actually, we just sold our Ferrari stock. Nice trade. I was on the Autobahn. Okay, we're driving the Autobahn. Hi-Fi Radio, 640 Toronto.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Hi-Fi Radio in a moment on 640 Toronto. You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of Chorus Entertainment.
Oh, boy, went back to Napoli because he missed the scenery, the native dancers, and the charming songs. But wait a minute, something's wrong. Hey, hey, now it's a mambo, mambo Italiano, a mambo, mambo Italiano, go, go, Joe.
I love it. Big smile on my face. Yeah, I first discovered that track in Taormina and Sicily. It was amazing. White Lotus, you know the show? I stayed in the hotel. Lucky me, eh? And yes, right as soon as I walked in, that was a track they were playing. I said, oh my God, this song is so cool. Yep, travel, my good friends, and travel well and travel often. Boy, do you learn a lot when you travel. And spent time with my daughter a couple weeks in various hotel rooms, and I had to wait for her umpteen times getting ready. No different than what's going to happen next week when she has to get ready for school. Pull out the Elf Beauty and the, I don't know where to begin, where to end. Susan Anderson, one of our analysts, consumer and retail, spending some time with us. She's been with Canaccord since 2022, but 18 years of experience covering consumers' names, prior research positions held at Deutsche Bank and Citi, in-depth quantitative and fundamental company research backed up by qualitative analysis. The type of stuff, and as I mentioned, I was observing my daughter. That's the qualitative stuff. What's she doing? It's funny, Peter Lynch went up on Wall Street. Every year he comes to the Canaccord Boston Growth Conference. And he became famous by paying attention to what his children consumed. And he would dig into some of their consumption patterns. And if it looked like it made some sense, he'd buy them. And he was talking about getting 5-baggers and 10-baggers on the trades. Not that easy, but you know, it's a starting point. Consumer behavior, Susan. How much of it can you pick up qualitatively in terms of trends and patterns?
Yeah, actually a lot. We love to be in the stores and just check out what people are buying, what's selling, what's not selling. talk to associates in the stores. So I think a good, you know, chunk of it comes from really qualitative observances. And really then we kind of go back and crunch the numbers after that and see where things sit, right? Because just because something's going down or bad doesn't necessarily mean the stock's going to move that direction. But, you know, a lot of our work is definitely done on the qualitative aspect versus quantitative.
Yeah, no, I pay attention to my teenagers to see what they are consuming. And they certainly do consume a lot of different things. Makeup being one thing. My boys are drinking a little bit of beer in Germany. And actually a little bit in Ireland as well. We went to the Guinness factory owned by Diageo. Have you ever been to that, Susan?
I have not been to that, but I heard it's amazing.
It really is amazing. It truly is. And they've taken that brand and just nurtured the daylights out of it. And Diageo, I think, has done a very, very good job with it. But when you create something good and it has legs and it becomes part of culture and history, it takes on a whole life of itself. And I find that very interesting. Elf Beauty was a name that my daughter pointed out to me, and just how the stuff, you can't keep the stuff on the shelves. So let's talk about that stock. It's been a little volatile. I've been paying attention to it, 115, 130, 115, 130 on the price action. Not breaking, it's holding its chart pattern quite nicely from a technical point of view. And my daughter has a chance to say, "I told you so, Dad." How right was Shivani with her Elf Beauty call?
Yeah, I mean, Elf has been amazing. It's been, you know, the best performer really in our coverage universe. So, and I think within the beauty category itself too. But they've just done such an amazing job, you know, and I think COVID really kind of kicked it off for them as they, you know, they were born a DTC company, right? So they were really first to be on Instagram, you know, using social media to kind of capture that younger consumer, specifically the Gen Z. So, you know, I think that's where they really got going. And then they just have these amazing products at such a great price. You know, they take prestige brands and see how they can make those cheaper and sell them to consumers cheaper so everyone can have access to it. And they usually focus on, you know, big categories such as their Hollow Glow, where they can use a franchise and then kind of build around that. So they have a lot of room left to grow. And then they just, you know, announced recently that they're buying Naturium in the skincare category, which we think was a really good acquisition. And it's going to have a lot of legs for them and give them expertise in that skincare category, which they had been rolling out the Elf brand, and I think that's going to really kind of jumpstart that brand too, which is a little bit, it's lower price than Naturium, so we don't really think there's a lot of competition between the two there.
Susan Anderson, analyst with Canaccord, she covers consumer and retail. We're talking a little health and wellness and lifestyle and beauty and a little vanity too, but tell you why not. Yeah, Susan, you know what's fascinating? Fellow in my office, in our Vancouver office, came into Toronto one day, and all of a sudden I did a double take on the guy. I said, "Whoa, you got hair. How did that happen?" I said, "I went to Turkey, $3,000, got me hair." What's going on in Turkey with you know, the world of cosmetic surgery? Why has Turkey become such a go-to place? I thought California had that cornered.
Well, that's good. I hope they give everyone hair so they can come back and use our hair products here, such as Olaplex.
Hey, but have you not seen the social media, like the jokes on jokes at the border? You know, the before and after with the passport. The person's bald. Now he shows up at the passport office or at the customs office. He's got a full head of hair. And he's, "Don't tell me. Turkey. Yes, Turkey. Let him through. Next." Or the picture of the back of the plane. Someone sits at the back of the plane, all the bald heads. And then you're coming back of the plane, all full heads of hair. Oh, there's some classic ones. It's funny stuff, Susan, I gotta admit.
That's great.
Oh, God. Look, we're gonna take a quick commercial break, get back with Susan Anderson, find out what you're buying, and see if we can't make some money around it. Susan Anderson, consumer and retail analyst. What state are you in, Susan? You California?
I'm in the D.C. area.
Washington, D.C. Very nice, very nice. Yeah. All right, well, hang tight, run some commercials, get right back to you, Susan, okay?
Want to make more money? Stay tuned for more Hi-Fi Radio on 640 Toronto. You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of Corus Entertainment.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? All those nights when you've got no lights, the check is in the mail, and your little angel hung the cat up by its tail, and your third fiancé didn't show.
Welcome back. Little, Farside chat with my friend Susan Anderson. She's in the D.C. area. But Canaccord each and every year has a fantastic growth conference, which I unfortunately missed this year. It wasn't that unfortunate. I was traveling in Europe, so I'd rather be there than Boston. But when I'm privileged enough to get down to the Boston conference that Canaccord puts on every year, it's absolutely remarkable because I get to sit in a small room in front of hundreds of amazing companies with a whole lot of newness about them. Susan, which of your covered companies were at our growth conference in Boston a couple weeks ago, and what were the standouts in your mind that you can share with the audience?
Yeah, so we had quite a few there, including Elf, which I would say was definitely a standout. They, you
free
know,
samples.
They're just hitting.
Did you
it
get Elf samples? Because you did
no,
my daughter.
No,
didn't. My, good. Thank God. If you did, and I didn't get them, my daughter would have mad at me. I just had to find out. It was burning on my tongue there, so I not to worry about responding back to my daughter. There's no sample, so it's okay. Anyways,
yeah. So Troy was there. They always bring a suitcase load.
Who was? Sorry, who?
Trinkets. Helena Troy. So they own a bunch of brands like Drybar and Osprey and Hydro Flask. So they don't actually give out all of the stuff, but that at least you can look and feel in touch.
Hey,
so
who does L'Occitane? My wife loves L'Occitane, and in some of the hotels in Europe, they get the samples. We just raid the little cart when it comes down the hall, and she's not looking. Yeah. Go to the cart and just raid it. L'Occitane. Who's that? Sorry?
I'm not sure who that is, but lots of times it's separate companies that sell the hotels too. Yeah,
but when you get the brand stuff, the L'Occitane, ooh, you got something going there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and they say no liquids and gels on the airplane. That's a whole other challenge.
Exactly. So you can only bring so much back. But, yeah, no, so we had a great turnout, and we had Edgewell there, which owns the new Billy brand. I don't know if you heard of that. It's like the shave brand. It's like the hot trending shave brand taking share from everyone.
For men? Is it going to put Axe out of business? Because I hated that stuff in the change room at the hockey arenas when my boys were playing. Oh, God. Remember that brand, Axe? Oh, so bad. It was so bad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, they probably
I'll take Old Spice any day over the old Axe.
Yeah, Perrigo. So we had Perrigo there too, who does like private label. They sell a bunch of other stuff too, so in Europe and everything. So they were interesting. That's kind of like a turnaround restructuring type story, which I think is pretty interesting. They just had a new CEO come on board. And then we had PBH, which is, you know, kind of just an OTC company that sells OTC products, you know, at drugstores and stuff. So pretty simple business, but they've been benefiting as, you know, everyone's getting sick again as we get back out. So that's been helpful to them.
Yeah, there's more masks. I'm seeing more masks for sure. And I hope it doesn't stick, obviously. The world's just getting back to normal. I can really feel it, and I like normal, as I'm sure we all do. But we got to take care once again. You know what consumer sector has just blown my mind, Susan? And again, in traveling through Europe, if you get into larger cities, I like to go through Designer Alley. Every single city has a Designer Alley where the high-end brand stores all congregate. Here in Toronto, it's up in Yorkville. Go along Bloor Street. That's where they are. And Munich has a strip. Florence has a strip. London, of course. Even Dublin. And it's amazing to see what goes on there, Susan, because it's this whole psychology. I know this from back in the day. Okay, back in the day when I used to work in music radio and I worked with a lot of nightclubs, what the nightclub would do is they'd create an action around the club. The way you create action is you have a lineup outside. When you get inside the club, you say, wait a minute, why'd I wait in line? There was no one inside anyways. They could have let me in, but no, they want action. Because, attention draws more attention, and people in motion come in contact with people in motion. We're just a social being. But these high-end stores, they're big places, lots of retail space. You're not walking to a Walmart. Lots of space, not overly merchandise, and yet they keep the customers standing outside. And it's Alan, and they go into these stores. And they spend $25,000 and $50,000 on things called bags.
Yep.
Bags.
Yep.
They can't get enough of them. And again, in Europe, what we saw were a lot of people coming from, the Arab nations, where it's 45 degrees, and they were cooling off in 30 degrees, and they came with a lot of money. And limos would pull ladies up, 4, 5, 6 together, and then they'd be standing on the sidewalk waiting for 20 minutes to get into a Chanel store or a Hermes store. It's just incredible. There's a category that consumer has so much money.
And to capitalize on beauty, too. Luxury beauty is on a roll right now.
Who are the brands you want to pay attention to on that?
Out with their own beauty. So instead of spending $5,000 on a bag, you can maybe only spend $1,000 on a face cream or something. So that's a discount.
And so, yeah, and who's the brand leader there?
Well, so Estee Lauder owns La Mer, which has been doing really well. Dior has a bunch of products. Ulta has been taking in more products into their stores. So it's been, a really hot trend. I think more and more luxury players are really trying to get into it, really beyond fragrance. Fragrance was always pretty big with luxury, but now they're trying to go further into beauty.
Incredible. Yeah, I just sold the Ferrari stock. There's a stock that I managed to get a nice pass on. But at some point, book it, Dano, grab the loot and scoot. You don't want a car crash. And remarkable, Ferrari. You want a Ferrari, my friend? Again, get in line. It's at least a 1 year wait. You think you can dick her on the sticker? Uh-uh. No. Again, four wheels on that bad boy. I don't know, $600,000. They just can't keep up. Well, or maybe they can. Creating supply and demand imbalances. It's all part of the prestige and the luxurious, the exclusivity to it all. Yep, consumer behavior. I remember taking courses of that in university, and I certainly did learn a lot, and it's fascinating to observe. Indeed, it is. Susan, I think what we all need is some more good weather, and then that European style pedestrian zone with a piazza. Perhaps, and the cafes with the windows open, maybe a little music playing, and all the seats pointed towards the street so you can observe the pedestrians. That is fun. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, I know. Yes.
You want to take a trip now, don't you?
I do. I do want to take a trip over there.
Susan, I can't thank you enough for your time. I really can't. You've been generous with your time. Fascinating space, and I appreciate dovetailing your expertise along with my daughter's expertise. Me? Well, I'm a guy. Yeah. We do consumerism just a little differently, actually as little as possible, but we do spend nonetheless. Have a great weekend, Susan. Friends?
Great, thanks.
Thank you for tuning in to Hi-Fi Radio each and every Saturday right here on 640. Any questions for my partner, Jack, who is enjoying his family time much needed? Yep, indeed he is, and he's a good fellow. He'll, of course, be back with us next week. I want to wish you all a great weekend. It is Labor Day. You deserve the break, and enjoy it. Spend some time with your family. And please, if friends of yours are in need of some love, share it. Makes the world a better place. I'm Wolfgang Klein. I want to thank you once again. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Hi-Fi Radio with Wolfgang Klein and Jack Harthill, portfolio managers at Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management. For questions about today's show or any questions about money, email wolfandjack@wolfgangklein.com. Hi-Fi Radio, for the love of money. Join us again next week. The preceding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of Chorus Entertainment.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.